Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Community Geek Podcast. I am your host, Gregory Russo, and with me, as always, well, for the second time anyway, and hopefully as always, Richard Millington.
Hello.
So, we have a lot to talk about. There's a lot of exciting stuff going on with the Community Geek site. We're doing a lot of development, both on the back end and the front end of the website, over the course of the next couple weeks. But we have some major stuff that's finished already. As you'll notice, if you're listening to this, we can now play media files in frame. So you'll be able to listen to this podcast without leaving the Community Geek website. You'll also be able to subscribe to the podcast, either through RSS or iTunes. We've completely redesigned the resources page. It looks beautiful, if I do say so myself.
You know what? That resources page was driving me crazy for a long time.
The old one, yeah.
We had these incredible, like, we do have some amazing resources on that. We have case studies and data and a lot of the things that we use for our own clients, but it just looked horrific.
Well, it was a very old site design. University of Michigan had the same problem a few years back when I was helping them upgrade their library's website. They had all their resources, which were fantastic, but they were fully fleshed out, like all the text couldn't be collapsible or anything like that. And it was just one after the other, such that if you wanted to find a resource at the bottom, you could be scrolling for literally 15 minutes before you could even get there. And of course, that's not really friendly to search or bookmarking or social media sharing or anything like that. So I think it's going to be a lot better... A lot better now because the resources are collapsed. You'll still be able to see the first couple lines. You'll be able to get a flavor for it. It'll have a banner image, or a cover image rather, so you can also get a visual feel for it right away. But now it's not like one after the other, like a newspaper article. It's three in a line and makes the whole page a lot shorter, a lot easier to browse. And they're more visually recognizable with the cover images. So if you're looking for something that you had seen before, it'll be a lot easier for you to find it the second time. We shamelessly stole the design. I'm not gonna lie. Higher Learning and Al Jazeera English actually use elements of this design, I think, pretty successfully.
I love that we're stealing stuff from Al Jazeera.
Hey, man. I'm not gonna say no to a good idea.
All right, so what are we working on this week, Greg?
All right, so...
What are you working on?
What am I working on? I am...
Well, except for the resources page.
Well, that's the stuff that's done. We still have a few other things in the background. A lot of it's behind-the-scenes stuff, but I know we have a lot of practitioners that are going to be listening to this podcast. We can talk about a bit of it. For the longest time, Community Geek site metrics were broken. They now work. And not only do they work, but they tell us a lot more information than they ever did before. So now we can see things like subscriber numbers, post counts, how many people have visited. It's grouped out by year, so we can see activity by whatever month or year people came in.
So here's what's been really interesting about since we launched the site, because one of the things we wanted to do with the site was to have it on a independent platform like Drupal, because we generally felt that is where things are headed towards. And when we started developing on the Drupal site, there are so many of these things that we had to develop from scratch, because we found that even though Drupal has this Drupal Commons feature and advanced forum, they're not up to the level that they need to be. So many of the things that we're developing right now are developing from scratch, which means I think, Oli, and perhaps you do as well, is that it's taken us way longer to do a lot of the things that we are hoping to have done maybe 6 months ago. But that's the way it goes. But in the meantime, we've still been developing that community. We've still been getting people to join in and participating. But now I think we're at the stage where we're ready to open up a little bit more, which is what's happening on Monday.
That's right.
Right.
And the custom independent side of things has made it a bit of a challenge. A lot of what we were trying to change wasn't really documented very well, or the documented solutions didn't apply because of some other custom work the site had done. So some changes which looked deceptively simple, like for instance, changing all the emails that get sent out notification-wise from, say, your email address to a site's email address is actually proving quite difficult, and we're still, in fact, working on it. It's just because it's tied into so many things, and the email settings are split out into at least 4 different areas of the site, and it's not always clear to someone who doesn't understand, like, actual Drupal code what each of those 4 sections actually affects in terms of when they get sent out. And then for each of those things, you have to update the text for each of the mails, and some of them have subsections beneath that, and it's actually quite involved. I'm really glad that we have proper web admins and web developers that are doing this for us, and I don't have to do it all myself, because I would be so lost.
So guess where we're going next week? Well, I am, but you're not.
Mm. Go ahead. Brag.
So next week, we're going to the Lithium Link event. Now, that's one of the really interesting ones, because Lithium have, when they launched their community platform, they launched it and it was doing well. And then they took this really bold decision to start charging maybe 10 times more. And they lost a lot of their clients. But what they had were the clients that really wanted a community. And so they launched the Link event, which will be on, I think it's the 20th to the 22nd next week. So we're heading out to San Francisco for that, where I'm sure we'll be meeting a few of the listeners there as well.
Do you have anyone, for instance, have you organized, say, a meet and greet type thing that we could be pointing people in listening to the podcast to, or...?
Do you know what we tend to do? So whenever, well, I don't know about everyone else, but whenever I'm going to an event or meeting a client, especially in the USA, because at the moment I'm spending so much time there, I look up the people that are on our mailing list that live in the area, and then I reach out to maybe 5 to 10 of them and see if they want to meet. And there's a difference between those that I want to meet in a social way because I like them and I'm interested in them, and those where I think there might be a business potential where we can work together in some respect. So if I think there's business potential there, then usually, not always, but usually I meet with them one-to-one. If it's more of a social event, then we might get a few people together. But the truth is, like this time around, we decided we were going on Tuesday, I think. So we put everything together really quickly. So I think Darren's more interested in seeing Alcatraz. So what's the first story?
All right. So this will be a story that we talked a little bit about on the Community Geek site. If you guys have been watching your newsfeed, there's a community called Comic Book Resources. It is nearly 20 years old, and they pressed the complete restart button on that community.
They killed everything.
Yes, and they're starting completely from scratch. They're archiving all their old stuff, but it's going to be like tossed out the window in about 2 weeks. The only thing I think they're keeping is like a handful of stickies or something like that.
You know what? I checked this out this morning, and from what I've seen, the archive is already gone.
It is. Oh, man. So there.
You can try it now if you want, but I think that the archive is already gone. They said that they were going to wait 2 weeks to delete it, and it's gone.
Oh, my.
So what happened? So why are they doing this?
Well, they had a bit of an issue where they had not really focused on their forum side of the community because the site had been moving in a different direction. They were a forum community. They built themselves up as an online community, but as the community started evolving, they started going into things like putting articles out, putting videos out, all kinds of media content related to comic books.
That's not answering the question.
Well, it's part of it because while that was going on, they did not have proper community managers for the forum side of things. So there were toxic elements.
Did they ever?
I think they did at least at one point.
Really? Because I'm not so sure that they did. So let me explain the background here from what I've seen. So they had a forum that was incredibly successful. It was very active. Lots and lots of people used it. They were getting thousands of posts. And what happened is that the behavior of a minority of those members became increasingly extreme, to the extent where one lady posted her thoughts. I can't remember what it was, some comic book criticism.
It was a comic book review of the cover of a book. It wasn't even the book itself. She was just taking a look at the cover of a first issue of something that just came out, and she got slammed.
Not only did she get slammed, I mean, that happens all the time, They found her address online. They were sending death threats. And that's why they took the step to think, well, the form at the moment is not working. The behavior is out of control. So we need to change that. And they decided to change that by deleting all the old stuff, putting in place good rules now, and then letting the community start again.
It's not just in a vacuum, though. This was part of a trend of increasingly toxic and extreme behavior. And this was just the thing that really crossed the line. But they didn't take such an extreme step over one isolated incident. Apparently, this group of the community had been more active and had been growing in number over a period of months, I'm guessing.
So I would argue a couple of things here. First is that when you have a big community, you're naturally going to attract people that are going to be bad influences upon that community. You're going to attract these people just because the law of averages state, if you have 1,000 people that are in a room, maybe 5 to 10 of them are going to be the people that are disruptive to every person that's in that room. That's just the law of averages. And the issue with a lot of these large communities is that instead of understanding the law of averages in that way, they're like, we've got these bad members in the community. We need to make a massive change that's going to be bad for every member in that community to resolve this. And I think with this comic book forum, is that first, I don't think they needed to remove the entire history of that community. I think that was a bad idea. I think they need to do something big to make a big break with the past and to show that there was something that is a big change here. There's something that's good that they were going to change on a major way, and everyone needed to notice it. Because we know that most members don't read any messages whatsoever. I would have preferred to have seen them to do something like Wikipedia did, where during that SOPA protest, where they go dark, they have one message on that screen, and you can't access the site for 24 hours. And that's a very clever thing to do, because everyone will take notice of that. Everyone will see that. I would much rather that they took that approach than to year zero everything in their community. I think that is going too far in this situation.
Yeah, I wasn't really convinced. I did the research for the article we put up on the site, and I heard what their executive producer said as far as their reasoning, that they wanted to implement stronger rules and a different moderation style, and that they were going to have zero tolerance. I'm not convinced they needed to restart everything to have that. Like you said, they could have taken the site down temporarily and put a splash thing up.
That's what I think they should have done.
Or they just could have done it. Fired the mods that weren't working, got the mods on the same page with the new zero tolerance thing, and just started like ruthlessly banning people until the message got through.
Well, that's the other issue with what they have now, is that they've removed all the content that was there, but they haven't removed the people that were there. So I'm going to bet that this doesn't have as big a change as what they had hoped. But we'll see. We'll see how it goes. It's an interesting one, but I think there's a way of getting a message across to all the members without going that extreme.
Yeah, that's a great. It's something to keep an eye on, though. You're right with the people not leaving. And I'm going to go out on a limb and say that probably the people that didn't respect this writer's privacy and just respect her in general, respect the other people in the community, respect the community itself, are probably not going to respect the new moderation rules either, so they're going to have to get rid of them anyway, eventually.
Well, here's the issue with any moderation rules, is that the people that actually read the rules are the people most likely to break them. And what that means is that rules for most communities have no impact upon that community at all. And in most communities, you could actually remove the rules completely, because they have no influence upon a member's behavior. What does have an influence is what the moderators are doing and what the people within that community are doing. So that does matter. But having these rules that no one reads has no impact whatsoever. Having a common practice amongst the moderators does matter. And there's a big difference between those two things. Anyway, let's move on to the second story.
Our second story is...
Our second story of the night.
Yes. At the top of the evening. We've got another, well, I would call it sort of related to last week's discussion about unconventional community events. This one is also unconventional in an entirely different way. Burger King.
Oh, God. You're about to annoy me, aren't you?
Oh, what?
Go on. Let's have it.
Burger King decided to encourage people to leave their community by giving away free Big Macs, which is McDonald's burger, so their competitor's burger. If you decided, hey, I will leave their community, I will never come back, they will give you a coupon for a free Big Mac.
That is quite possibly the dumbest idea I've heard all week.
I don't know. I am not... You know what? It sounded weird to me at first, but the more and more I've thought about it over the course of this week, I'm not so convinced. So why don't you go first, and then I'll go.
No. Why don't you go first, and then I can tear down your argument and make you cry.
Tell me why I'm wrong.
Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
So...
Good luck.
So their community was a fairly easy community to join. I believe it was the Facebook community where this happened. So they've got a lot of people who are just kind of there. By offering this incentive to leave, a fairly cheap incentive as well, they're making the identification of the people that remain a lot stronger. These are like the true believers, they're actual fans. And it's not only actual fans to them, other people that stayed. No, the other people that stayed are the actual fans. And now I don't really have much of a relationship to my burger, so that's kind of a weird community thing in general. But I guess if you're big into eating at Burger King, that would kind of make sense. And it would also help, you know, focus their community efforts going forward, knowing that at least for right now, they've got a fairly good sample size of what their core audience is in that community. Richard.
Are you done?
Let me get this cup on real quick. Put a helmet on as well. All right, go for it.
So when you hear about stories like this, it is usually something that is usually only about half true and has no impact upon the long-term success of the community as well. And if you were to look at this tactic, I'm willing to bet that they never do this tactic again. That's what I'm willing to bet. And I'm willing to bet that because I bet this tactic cost them a lot of money, and they lost a lot of their members as a result. So what happened? They lost 30,000 of its members?
30,000 out of 38,000. To be clear, it wasn't Burger King generally, specifically a Norwegian arm of the fast food chain. So...
Okay, well, I'm not going to differentiate between the two here.
All right.
So here's what happened. They spent a lot of time building up a community, supposedly a community that's supposed to be quite loyal to them. Then they offered them a free Big Mac. So they basically gave money to their biggest competitor if they left the page. Now, aside from the issues of how they even did this, of how they even managed to make that happen, like the actual practice of doing that, of tracking that people left the page, getting in touch with them, like I'm not aware of an easy way of doing that. But aside from all that, what did they find? That 30,000 of their members left their page.
Yep, with only 8,000 remaining.
So 30 out of 38,000.
Yeah.
The moment they had a free offer from something else, they left the page. I think that is
a bad decision on their end, or is that a sign that their community was weak in the first place?
Well, it means that first, that they built a community that was really weak. Second, it means that communities around things like consumer brands like McDonald's and Big Macs and Coca-Cola tend to have very little impact upon the purchasing intentions of the people within those communities. And that's why it's very rare for anyone to prove that any Facebook page or Twitter account had any impact whatsoever on the return on investment of that organization. So they basically lost 30,000 people that they could have given free offers to or discounted products to or invitations to get what? A little bit more in engagement? That sounds like a disaster to me. That sounds like an organization that has completely made a big mistake. And they have a community that delivers almost no value towards them. And now they're spending extra money to make their members go away. I think it's ridiculous. And I doubt that it's true. I mean, unless there's people out there right now that can prove that they got a free Big Mac, which I'm not sure they can. I'd love to see those that had. I mean, it's just one of those stories that just drives me crazy. It's one of those social media hype stories where you actually look behind it and you realize that it's being a disaster.
Well, it may very well turn out to be. They're claiming...
No, not very well.
They're
it
claiming
is a
that their interaction with the brand has gone up, but Yeah, that's okay, probably damage control from the way I'm reading it.
Whenever you hear about an organization that's telling you how well their community is doing or how they did something and it benefited the community in some way, ignore what they're saying and pay attention to what they're doing. Because if it worked well, then surely they should do it again, right? It's a tactic that works, so they should do it again. If they don't do it, I'm going to assume that they're lying. I'm going to assume that they're in a situation where they don't want to admit that they did a bad job or their idea was a disaster. And so instead, they're claiming that it was a big success. But we'll see if they do it again. And I'm willing to bet that they don't ever do this idea again.
Well, that's a fair bet. That is a fair bet.
Do you want to take it?
No. I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt, but I'm not that generous.
Okay, I'm on their page now. They have 11,000 likes. And their last post received 2 responses. A couple of these are quite popular. There's 100 response posts. But here's the issue. I don't think that these people are buying more as a result. And that's where the disconnect happens between increasing the level of engagement, which can sometimes be a good thing, as opposed to increasing the return on investment, as opposed to getting more people to purchase more of what you buy yourself. Mm-hmm. And with ideas like this, I'm betting that it was a disaster of an idea, and way more people than what they imagined decided to take the free Big Mac. But we'll see.
All right, and for our third story for the evening, we've got an article that we're looking at from Stanford called How Community Feedback Shapes User Behavior. This is from Justin Cheng, Christian Donescu, Niculescu, Mizil. I apologize if she ever hears this, or she or he ever hears this, and I butchered that name, and Jerry Leskovec. Richard, do you want to introduce this?
I'm just looking at the Burger King page again. Have you ever seen what a Big Mac looks like now?
I prefer not to look at it or think that it exists. It's horrific.
Well, look at it. It's a bun. It's one burger. It's two burgers. It's two layers of bacon. It's something that looks like onion rings, tomatoes, lettuce, some sort of sauce on top. And that's got to be like the biggest burger ever.
They're pretty big.
I'm so hungry right now. The story was about feedback, right?
Yeah, Richard, resist that temptation. Do not eat Burger King. Until we get really sponsored by Burger King, do not eat Burger King. Stay away.
So here's what I think. Feedback is generally a great thing. It's generally a really good idea. If there's one thing that data has shown more than anything else, is that the feedback that members receive to a response that they post is so critical if they're going to ever participate in that community again. Now, this is important because a lot of people spend their time trying to get their lurkers in the community actively participating. And what the research by IBM and a few others has shown is that generally doesn't happen. If you don't engage people from the moment they join that community, they're very unlikely to ever participate in that community. Which means if you can get people to post once, and then you can do a very quick response to their first post within that community, you'll find that far more of them participate. It's one of these really, really simple things that every single community professional could be using right now to get more of their regulars converting to get more of their newcomers converting into regulars. But at the moment, it's tragic that we are ignoring all this data we have and focusing on things that have no impact upon the success of a community, like giving away free hamburgers.
One thing I thought was interesting from this is the reaction to negative content. Most times in my experience, when someone receives negative feedback on a post, they engage higher, but that engagement is usually defensive in nature, and it can actually get quite combative. And what they found was that after that incident, yes, they contribute more, but future posts from them have lower quality and also get more negative response. So there's like a negative cycle of feedback there, but there's no corresponding positive cycle of feedback. If they are complimented or receive positive feedback on an article, it doesn't positively affect their behavior, at least noticeably.
Do you think that's actually what's happening? Now, if you look at that article itself, what do you notice about it? If you look at how the research done and how they're defining what is positive, what is negative, what do you notice about it? All right, so let me give you an example. One of the things they were tracking is that if you receive a negative feedback on the contributions that you make, that you then participate more, but the feedback becomes increasingly negative, right?
Yeah.
All right. So imagine you're also tracking the reverse of that. So if you make a positive contribution, or you make a contribution that receives positive votes on average, then they were looking to see what exactly, whether your future posts were more positive. Yeah?
Yeah.
So here's a challenge. If you make a positive post within a community and you get good feedback based upon that, how can you make a more positive post than that?
Yeah, that's a good point.
That's the point I'm trying to make. Like, you can kind of see how it works in a negative context, but you don't see how you can have a more highly rated post based upon what you've already posted. And so I think that the methodology here is a little bit flawed, and they do what a lot of academics do, which is to track the things that are relatively easy to track, but not the things that actually have the biggest impact. So what this article is trying to claim is that positive feedback has no impact upon the quality or quantity of participation, whereas negative feedback encourages users to participate more frequently, but at lower quality. What it shows is the outcome of using downvotes and upvotes within a community. Are you still with me?
Yes.
Awesome. So users whose posts receive downvotes more frequently tend to post more. Users whose first post receive a downvote will post more frequently within that community, but their posts receive a larger number of downvotes in the future. And more than that, they are more likely to give downvotes themselves, and it begins this negative cycle of you receive downvotes, you give downvotes, you're more likely to continue participating. And that's the other thing, the retention rates for the negative group were a little bit higher. Not much, but just a little bit. Then you look at the upvote group, and which shows that users that receive upvotes post more frequently, but their posts do not receive a greater quantity of upvotes in the future. The difference between the two isn't that great, but I don't think this is this amazing clarion call to allow negative voting in communities. I think it's the opposite, but it's disguised in a slightly different way. What's more interesting is the average users within the study. And these are the users which receive neither positive or negative feedback within the community. They post far less frequently, and they are the ones most likely to leave the community. So negative feedback is bad. Having no feedback whatsoever is horrific from a community retention perspective.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense, in the sense that if you go to a community and you try to engage with it, and you get nothing, why would you even go back?
Exactly. So that's the point I was trying to make at the beginning of this, which is if we don't receive good feedback, and I think that voting isn't the best way of doing this, but if we don't receive good feedback to the posts that we make to a community, we never participate again. So this article doesn't say that positive voting has an amazing impact or negative voting has an amazing impact. What it is that positive voting has no major visible negative impact upon a community. Compared with the having no voting whatsoever, it's a good thing. Negative voting is likely to encourage more negative behavior in the future. Posts that do not receive any feedback drive people away. That'd be my conclusion from this.
I would add one more conclusion. You said that positive feedback, you know, if there's positive feedback to a post, they can't get more positive feedback in the future. If you're talking about upvotes, that's not necessarily true. You can make a post that has some positive, that has a net positive of upvotes, and then a further post that's even more popular with more upvotes. In fact, Stack Overflow has that as a pretty major component of their model. But what I would say is that one more conclusion is that people sort of anticipate positive feedback as the normal response. So that's why their behavior is not as significantly impacted, because they expect that to be the way things are. So it doesn't really change their behavior when they get it.
No, here's what I would say. Here's what I would say to that. So because I think you're kind of right, but the point isn't as refined as I think it could be here, which is that if you make a good contribution to a community, if I were to write a blog post on Stack Overflow or Stack Exchange now, and it received positive feedback, say 10 positive votes, and I'm like, wow, that was great. What would I change to get more positive votes in the future? And that's the hard part. Because users, even though they want more positive votes in the future, it's not immediately clear from a predictive standpoint what I personally would need to change to have more positive feedback in the future. It's very hard to do those sorts of things. So it makes sense. And that's what I think the challenge is with this survey. They're tracking things that are like easy to track, but not always thinking it through. It's a good study, though, and I think this is exactly the sort of information that we need, because so many of us at some point are going to be designing these incentive systems in some context, and they're going to find that when you start tinkering or adding them, things change very quickly. I was talking to someone who runs a very large online community here in the UK, and they found that when they had negative voting allowed, the number of contributions was far lower because people were very scared of receiving negative feedback on their posts. And when they removed it, the level of participation instantly rose, and also the quality of discussion was instantly more positive within that community. So my principle here would be, upvoting is good, downvoting is bad. Having no mechanism for feedback whatsoever, even if that's comments or something like that, is terrible.
So let me put this question to you. Would you ever want to see CommunityGeek have upvoting?
Yeah, but only when it matures. So we know from studies of gamification that gamification has no impact upon a community that has just launched. It tends to have a limited impact upon existing communities that are out there. And in fact, gamification is one of those interesting topics itself where no one has really proven that it works. In an independent perspective, in terms of does it, for most communities, increase the levels of activity, there's not a lot of studies that are out there that says that the answer is yes, and there's a few that say the answer is no.
Yeah, I've seen communities do it. I've seen communities without it. I certainly don't have any data one way or the other. If I did, I'd probably be a lot of cam right now.
It's not just data that we need. It's that so much of the data is self-reported. So an organization has introduced a gamification system, and now they're saying it's the greatest thing ever. Or it could be that a organization has launched a community with a gamification system, and it's working really well. But we don't know whether that is because of the gamification system or the context or anything like that. And that's what I think is so difficult about this situation right now. We need these data scientist types that can really get into it and figure out what works and what doesn't work.
Yeah, and it's going to have to be nuanced because, like you said, the context may matter a great deal. We may find out the
absolutely.
Context may matter a great deal. For instance, Reddit, it's one of the most successful online communities ever. It has downvoting.
It does.
So is it specifically because Reddit's users or the population that community is for, the way they think of gamification makes having downvoting important to them, whereas it's not important for, say, Facebook, which has likes but not dislikes?
I see downvoting in Reddit as more of a self-moderation tool rather than a gamification or reputation one, and that's slightly different, but it's a good point.
It sort of functions as a dual role, right? Because negative comments can be buried through their sorting system, but people also are very proud of their karma score, which is their upvoting and downvoting combinations through a formula. So it would be interesting to find out which of those is more important to the Reddit user, its sorting capability or their personal status, their ego. That's another thing that would probably need to get looked at.
Part of this, I suspect, is looking at your audience itself. So I wonder what percentage of the people that use Reddit actually care about their karma score at all, and what percentage actually care about looking at interesting discussions that are taking place on that page itself. Because in every community, it's not the same. And in communities that are more closed in nature, I think then the karma score is more important and negative voting is probably a bad idea. But in those communities the size of Reddit, then maybe that self-moderation feature is more important. But again, it's something that we need to explore and to learn and to get more data on. And at the moment, we really don't have that and we really need that.
Yep. Alrighty, so that is it for us this week. Thank you for listening to the Community Geek Podcast. We now have, among other things, new Start the Talk buttons on the forums. So if you are listening to this podcast and you want to talk about one of these issues or maybe give your opinion on gamification, press the Start the Talk button, or if someone's already hit it, it'll be Join the Discussion or Join the Talk. Go there and let us know what you think. Fun fact, that button is now on every news piece and resource we've got. So please, by all means. And that's it. Look for more posts next week on the forums about improvements to the Community Geek site and the sign-up process and the resource page and all that good stuff. And we will be back next week with a new podcast episode.
Goodbye. Bye-bye.